Hi, this is Kara Wanagatimu again, and welcome back to another segment of SharePoint Conference Television. So happy to have you here with us. Hopefully you're watching this on Channel 9, where all our content is going to be live and available. We're here on the conference floor right in Las Vegas at SharePoint Conference 2014, and it's an exciting place to be. I get an opportunity to interview people who are the thought leaders in our space and share that information out with you. And I have two here today. We're going to talk about enhancing the experience of enterprise search. Very exciting topic.
It is.
I know I'm a geek. I know I just showed my geekness again.
That's okay. You can
but
geek
still,
out all you want.
Yeah, thank you.
Because you're with friends.
It's a safe environment for me to be a geek man. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Would you please introduce yourself?
My name is Matthew McDermott, and I'm a SharePoint MVP. I've been awarded 8 years now, and I work in search and social and train dogs on the side and just have a good time.
That's great. That's great. Mikael.
My name is Mikael Svensson. It's also in Norwegian. I'm a SharePoint MVP as well. I'm a principal consultant at a company called Puzzle Party out of Oslo, which is an exciting place to be when you talk about search.
Yes.
So I also have a dog, but I don't train my dog, so it sleeps in the bed.
I see a future side deal going on here.
That's so I do SharePoint as a hobby as well. So I'm a total geek.
That's great.
Working with search for like 9 years.
Great. That's
I guess I should point out I'm a director at Aptalon Incorporated as well.
You probably should.
I deploy SharePoint from time to time.
Shameless plug there. That's
training,
awesome.
Training here and there and that kind of thing, but yeah.
That's good. Well, I know, I think enterprise search is, to some extent, one of the most powerful but sometimes the most underutilized pieces in the SharePoint stack, as I sort of refer to it. What are you both of you thinking about in terms of the strategy around that, and what would you tell customers as they're looking at getting more from their search results?
Yeah? I totally agree with you. I think it's underutilized. I think it's poorly understood. I think people think it's more complicated than it is, or they think I should just be able to turn it on and it works.
Right.
And you can just turn it on and it will just work, but if you just spend a little bit of time care and feeding, it can produce amazing results and make your workers more productive.
And something as simple as best bets. Right? I find that when I talk to customers sometimes, they don't even know that that exists.
Right.
What do you do with best bets?
Well, I did a project recently with a customer, and they were that ready for doing enterprise search. So what we did was, well, what kind of scenarios do you want to solve? It was like, where do you order lunch? Mm-hmm. Hey, where's the meeting room, the printer, how do you order a trip? And then, well, let's create best bets for them and style them so they look a little bit better. So sort of see what's actually going on.
The cafeteria menu scenario.
So if you search for like food, the first hit will be, well, today's lunch menu is. And the second is, well, this is the link to go where you order like overtime food or meeting food.
And really giving users the information they need at the time they need it. That really is what search is all about. Right? They're looking for something. You want those results to come back in a way that are easy to consume. But what about the user experience, right? For folks out there who are using that kind of out-of-the-box search results page, I know that you probably have some tips and tricks around that that you might be able to share.
No, definitely. I think understanding how the search results are coming back and seeing them, but then talking to your users about the actions that they want to take right in the search results panel so they don't have to necessarily browse all the way down into the document and open the document, taking that extra 3 to 5 seconds or even minutes to get the information when you can just display it in a custom display template.
Which is great.
Trivially easy to do.
Yeah, display templates are not that difficult.
They're not.
And, there's a lot of room to learn for people, right, in that particular area. Don't you think that customization drives a more fluid user experience?
I think it can, because you can allow people to take action directly in the search results pane. And I like to say it adds the sizzle, because they're used to the 10 blue links. They're used to seeing their search results straight up. But now you can add a little extra pizzazz to it, even if it's just some iconography like Michael suggested.
It's like doing visual cues and like point them in the right direction.
Yeah.
So if you look at the out-of-the-box blog post template, it's basically like a blue link template. Yeah. And then we'll pull in the image of the author, show the name of the blog, the abstract, just small.
The number of likes.
Yeah, number of comments.
Who knew?
Love that.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
I love those analytics. I think that's very important to understand what people are looking for. What's the popular content that's out there that's being returned?
Yeah.
But at the same time, those a lot of business users don't understand how those query rules work, right? And that even that phrase is a little bit scary for people. But what power do those query rules and queries in general give us?
Yeah, in my opinion, well, they shouldn't know how they work. But I sort of have a slogan I try to peg is turning business rules into query rules. So if you get someone who knows the query rule framework, which you can use to capture context and intent with trigger words and trying to figure out what the user actually is trying to do, right, then you can use the query rules to change the way the results look with the display templates, mm-hmm, do like result blocks, best bets, or reorder the results.
Do you have to be a developer to do these things?
No.
There's not really. It depends on how far you want to go. There you can do some very simple tips. You know, we do some, in both of our sessions, yeah, actually, we do tips and tricks about some simple things that you can do to improve the way that the results are coming back to your users. But then you can go way farther. I mean, I think one of the barriers to people understanding query rules is the query rule page. It is a complex page, and it changes as you make
it's
one little change, and it all changes.
Yeah.
But it's actually a very powerful testing tool as well. And so one of the things I show in my session is how you can use the query rules page to test your query rules.
That's fascinating.
It's really amazing.
But basically, if you look at search technology, it hasn't changed that much in the search engine for the past 10 years, mm-hmm, like function-wise. But having the query rule and the display template framework on top, that's a game changer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't seen any other search engine doing something like that.
It absolutely is.
It makes it easier. I mean, you have like custom applications where you can do your workflows, etc. But now you can basically just set them up yourself. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier.
Even
though it's hard in a way,
yes,
but it's not that hard when you just get to know the page and how it works.
It's like having a really great toolbox.
Right.
You could think of that as being hard because they're sophisticated tools. But at the same time, there's still the wrenches, the screwdriver. There's still things in there that everybody understands.
Yeah.
And I think the hardest part for me, my learning curve, has been what else can I do with it?
Yeah.
Can I make it do this?
Right.
And what are the business problems? Because ultimately, the technology is very cool,
right,
but it comes back to your initial point, which is you have to have a plan. You have to know what you're trying to solve before you throw the toolkit at it.
Right. I see that so much in the community, and I think it's people's enthusiasm and also how daunting it is to sometimes come up with these strategies and plans, but I think it's a requirement of stepping into this work, having a strategy, having fun. What's your experience with that?
I mean, if you don't have plans or governance in place, you don't really know how to work with your search result. I mean, when you roll the new solution, you have all your content, and then, okay, results are coming back, but what should you do with it? Then you have to start looking at the query logs, what works, what doesn't work, talk to the people, what are you getting back, getting feedback, and then you have to do this loop
tune a little bit,
yeah, but don't overdo it. So keep it simple, mm-hmm, but still complicated. So that's the hard part.
Because
yeah,
if you start
sophisticated.
Yeah.
Sophisticated. Because if you start creating a lot of rules, then you have to manage that as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And having that expertise on site is not something that a lot of people have, right? And so they're going to be dependent on either being able to learn themselves. And you mentioned a really nice thing, which I think is important. People forget that we have to learn about this too, right? And things are changing. What was your approach when things began to change from 2010 to 2013 and now we're in the cloud? How did you deal with that acceleration? Because as Microsoft, we're putting out a lot of new stuff and more is coming. Right?
Sure. When I was working with SharePoint Search in 2010 and before, I used to constantly malign the best bets because it was simply a list and it was not terribly sophisticated.
Right.
My clients wanted sophistication. And so the first thing I looked at was how we can use the new query rules engine to do much more sophisticated presentation of content, so to speak. And Microsoft just changed the entire game. Then the more I got into it, and you just keep burrowing down and burrowing down. And then every day you do something and go, where did that come from? And you have to go find out how, because there are so many sophisticated rules out of the box. Let me give you an example. One of the things I like to teach about is something called an intent rule. The intent rule says, I know you know what you think you're looking for, but I know what you're looking for better.
Right.
So an example of that would be when Michael and I are working, we're using PowerPoint, we call them decks, PowerPoint deck. Mm-hmm. But if you search for SharePoint, the word SharePoint, and the word deck together, in most organizations, you will get no hits, unless you actually have a slideshow about decks. But what SharePoint does out of the box is it has an intent rule that says, I know you want that word deck in there, but to me that means a PowerPoint presentation. And so if anybody has SharePoint 2013 running today and they have PowerPoints, if they search for a keyword and the word deck, it'll put up a result block of PowerPoint results that match the other words. So it takes that word deck out of the mix. It says, I know what you intend to look for, but let me improve that.
That's brilliant. I bet a lot of people don't know about that.
And then you can do the same for doc, D-O-C. Yeah. Those are two of the intent. There's a lot more in, but those are two that are in.
The hard part with the word deck is because I work for a maritime company, and the word deck has a completely different meaning. Then you need to use some other trigger word.
Right, but the rule still works because it presents a block of maybe three results, but then all the rest of your very relevant results are below that.
Yeah. Right, you know, right, so exactly. But you point out a really good issue in terms of the globalization of this process, right? And how we deal with that in the structure of our search results. I mean, I find that knowing the regions that people are in, you know, presenting the appropriate content, sometimes that's the next step that people don't take in search. And so do you incorporate that in your strategy? And
well, I see that since I'm from Norway. So we have a lot of Norwegian content and English content. So one example is a people search page, which usually picks up the locale from your browser or your setting, which is in Norwegian. But Fuzzy Search doesn't work in Norwegian because it's not implemented in the product. So then they have to go and actually change the page to, well, okay, do all my queries in English on this page. So by default, you can have a box saying, okay, pick my language. But that's one of the things I remove it right away because it clutters the interface. Mm-hmm. I mean, the user doesn't really care what language they're searching. So you just,
right. That's very interesting.
Yeah. So it's hard to detect what language you search in. So there's nothing today to actually say, okay, I'm searching in Norwegian, searching in English. So that's one of the hard problems still to solve. Yeah. And then you can do it with some programming, but then it gets a lot more advanced.
Yeah. That's definitely a development effort that people have to understand what they're getting into before they do that. I think one of the key points that I'm hearing from you is there's a lot to do before you develop right out of the box. Am I hearing that?
Absolutely. No. So before you have to go to development.
Right.
I think so. I mean, before, simple query rules that we can create now, like one of my favorites, I love to tease people about, they upload a document to SharePoint and then they can't find it immediately. they lose it. They forget where they put it. So I do a query rule that's your documents.
You've been standing in my office, apparently, on those days
you
when I'm like super busy.
Not allowed.
And I'm up like, I know I just put it there, right?
I know that I did.
That's hilarious.
So when you do a search, it says, here's your documents, and it gives you like two. But I can do that because I can create a query rule that says whatever you entered as a search term plus author equals you. Uh-huh. Author equals the user who submitted the search.
Right.
In 2010, it took programming to do that. Hmm. So there is a lot more that you can do before you have to jump into a development.
That's an important point for customers to understand, too, because one of the things that I hear, you know, going to SharePoint Saturdays and speaking at conferences and what have you so much is, you know, well, you put things in SharePoint and now I can't find it. Like, the discoverability of content is an area that I think we all need to help people, you know, get more facile with, and so that they can find what's out there. Mm-hmm. So much more is available now.
Yeah, and search augments on SharePoint, I mean, if you don't structure SharePoint in a good way, well, use content types, has a good structure, then it's crap in, crap out. So, you can't create good search if you don't have
use titles, it's not just the name of your document. There is a title field, and it's there for a reason, right?
Yeah. And for most people, it's slide one.
Yes, and then they wonder why they can't find anything. But we have to help them make it simple, too. You know, certainly on our team inside of IT, we're really looking at those scenarios. And how can we make this simple so that it doesn't feel like a burden on the user, right, to create that good content? But that's been a document management and ECM, enterprise content management, difficulty for as long as I've been in this business, 20 plus years, right? So it's just something we have to just keep working on.
Yeah, so what I actually tried to do is actually created a refiner on department. So you don't really have department on the documents, but you have the author. And from author, you can pull in what department that user works for. So you sort of have a close to me refiner. Mm-hmm. Because usually you're looking for your own documents, and if you're not looking for your own documents, you're looking for someone in your team, and then further out, and let's start narrowing on that first, because there's so much content out there in the enterprise.
I'm sure that you both had an opportunity to see some of the keynote content and some of the announcements that we've been making in this space lately. And I'd love to get some reaction to Oslo and everything that's going to happen around that. What do you think about that?
Wow. Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, wow. You know, I think that too.
the search advancements, where they're taking search is you said, you know, that finding and discoverability is key. And we tend to tease the end user when they can't find their stuff. But it really is an enormous problem. And it's not just finding their stuff, but it's finding the relevant material that they need so they don't have to reproduce it. Mm-hmm. And that is a huge issue. And it's wherever it is, not just in SharePoint, but, you know, back-end data systems, file shares, anywhere. Right. And it also goes to e-discovery, and not only e-discovery after the fact, but compliance before it becomes e-discovery.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's really where Microsoft has had its head and is just doing some really, truly amazing things.
And being in Oslo, you must have a little bit of insight there. How wonderful. I've unfortunately never been there, but tell me a little bit about, do you get to visit with the product team?
Well, ever? Being in the MVP team and being under NDA, I've been lucky enough to have some meetings with people down at the Fast Office. It's still called the Fast Office, even
and
though it's a Microsoft
Development
Center.
And so you're under NDA, so you're not even allowed to say wow. You just have to say I'm under NDA.
Yeah, right. it's interesting to be allowed to actually give feedback and having access to the people. And it's all about, well, you know, get to know people. And because they're sitting there programming, and they don't like see the customers, because that's the layer in between, and then getting my real-life experience in. At least they say it's valuable.
Yeah. So.
Well, I think it really is valuable. And also, it's important to humanize the features in this set. There are actual people working on these features for other customers and for ourselves. And so building those relationships, being able to understand that those people actually exist out there. This isn't, you know, machine-written code, right? No, there's a human being back there that's working on
that. And there's people with fantastic ideas, and then there's really smart people that can make those connections happen.
Yes.
So the socialization of search, the show me stuff I've seen, which is crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
You know?
No, it's great.
And then,
you know,
and then
they started on the Office Graph like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So they created like everything in 6 months. That's what I've been told.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, and then just, you know, the acceleration, I know people may be feeling like that's an overused word right now, but for me, being on the inside there, it is my bread and butter. That is my life right now, to accelerate results, deliver more to customers, share the story, you know, reimagine, engage, all of that good stuff, and it's very important. You can see it in the product.
Yeah, and the story hasn't changed for the past 10 years. It's like, how do you get the content you need faster, quicker, so you can do good results or create better quality?
Right.
And the tools are getting better and better.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about yesterday, too, in another session I had, that the compliance issue that you brought up is very important. And, you know, making sure the customers understand that, yes, these are amazing new search tools, but it's going to respect the permissions you set on your documents.
No doubt. Yeah.
Security is very, very important, and so is confidentiality and governance and the life cycle of information, right? And so I think that's it's just a point we want to make sure people understand.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely, definitely. So I just think that there's so much to talk about in this space.
There is.
It's really exciting. I'm enthusiastic about it. I love being able to help people find what they need when they need it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really happy that both of you have upcoming sessions here at the conference. And will you tell me, when is your session?
Mine's tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
Tomorrow morning at 9.
Mine is at noon, the last session of the conference.
Excellent. Yeah. Last session. That's wonderful. And that's going to be Matthew's session is SPC 322. Mikhail's is SPC 382. We're going to make sure to have that tagged out there for you when the session goes live on Channel 9. So lots more information also at both of your blogs, ableblue.com/blog and techmikhail at techmikhail.blogspot.com. So we're going to have all that in the description. You'll be able to click through. I highly encourage you to keep this conversation going. Make sure that you get the most out of enterprise search in your organization so people can get what they need when they need it. There's so much great content here. I'm glad it's going to be on Channel 9. Thank you so much for joining
me
today. I really appreciate it. And we're going to keep going here, sharing this thought leadership with you. Check us out on Channel 9. Check us out in Room, SharePoint Conference Television. I'm Caruana Gatimu. Thank you so much. See you later.